This evening to the third chapter of Ephesians, as we're going to finish the third chapter of Ephesians this evening, and we're going to go on into the fourth chapter, starting in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So, so Paul finishes his prayer here that we studied in verses 16 through 19. He finishes in verses 20 and 21, acknowledging that God is able to do beyond measure, beyond what we can possibly think, according to the power that works in us, according to God's love and grace revealed to us. So, before we proceed on into the fourth chapter, are there any other thoughts or questions or comments about Paul's prayer in verses 16 through 19 in particular? Okay, if not, let's go on into the fourth chapter and in that fourth chapter, let's first of all notice verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Okay, so these first six, seven verses here of chapter 4 are about preserving the unity of the Spirit. They're about how we walk or what our walk is. They're about the attitudes that we have in our walk in this life, and they these verses are about keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So our walk, our attitudes, and keeping unity of the Spirit. And Paul describes, or you might say defines, the unity of the Spirit in verses 4 through 6 in particular. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So let's notice a few things about the walk that we have. In verse 1, where Paul says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. That word walk in the first verse comes from the Koine Greek word peripateo, meaning to walk, means to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities, to conduct oneself, to regulate one's life, to pass one's life. So based on the meaning of this word, we see that Paul here is starting to write about how we conduct ourselves in the context of the calling with which you were called. And what would be that calling? The gospel. We were called through the gospel. It's interesting to note two verses in Romans that use this Greek word peripateo. Romans 6 and verse 4, we were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. So there we have a statement about this new course, new conduct, a new way of leading our lives. And in Romans 8:4, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There, this walk that we have as Christians is contrasted, talking about how it's different from walking after the flesh, walking after the Gentiles, as Paul describes over, I believe, in later on in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. but we now walk after the Spirit. We're now led by the Spirit. We're led by the Word of God. So in Romans 6:4 and Romans 8:4, the same Greek word is used for the word walk. And that we walk according or worthy of the calling with which we were called, that we walk we walk in newness of life because we have been called by the gospel. Let's notice these four elements, if you will, about our walk. Ken?
One thing you might consider with Paul here is the reason why
Okay. So our influence on others.
That's how the word would be above that column.
I mean, exactly. The Ephesians, as Paul wrote, didn't learn Christ in order to still walk as the Gentiles walked. David? Yeah, you're saying that in the same sense as what in the same sense as Naaman used that phrase, "Behold, I thought."
Yeah.
Yeah. That's quite true. That thought that you've just brought up is actually contained within one of the attitudes that Paul talks about in the second verse. I think this is New King James Version. Yeah, uses the word gentleness in the second verse. Other versions will use the word meekness. But that thought that you've just brought up, David, we'll see in looking at that word. Meekness or gentleness, the thought you brought it is contained in that word. So let's notice that our walk is it's a certain course. Our walk is according to the standard of the Word of God. Our walk is straight and well lit. And our walk is on one path only. Now, our walk is a certain course, our life. As we just noticed in Romans 6 and 4 and 8 and 4, Romans 8 and 4 in particular identifies an old walk, a walk according to the flesh. But we don't walk that way any longer. When we answer the call of the gospel, we walk according to the Spirit. David, could you read Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21 for us? Chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Okay, so we no longer walk according to all of these works of the flesh. We no longer conduct our lives committing these works of the flesh. Instead, as we see starting with the 22nd verse, we walk after the Spirit. And the fruit of that kind of walk, of being led by the Spirit, led by the Word of God, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So that is how we conduct our lives as Christians. And you know, Paul did, I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, about verse 25 or so, he compared the life of a Christian to running a race. We would turn back to 1 Corinthians, I think in the 9th chapter. Yeah, starting with verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Okay. So we run our lives. We run this race by living by the Word of God. And when we do that, you'll be able to see that outwardly in our lives, won't you? You'll be able to see the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. So our walk is a certain course. And we walk by a road map. We walk by a standard. let's see. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule or standard. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Okay, so Paul writes to the Philippians and says, join in following my example and observe those who also walk according to the pattern you have in us. And let's turn back a couple of letters, back to the second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So Paul is saying, follow my example. I walk by faith, not by sight. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, I'm walking according to the Word of God, isn't he? So our life is a certain course. It's a new course. It's a course which is according to the Word of God. And our path is straight and well lit. Let's look at the second chapter of Galatians and verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? This is an interesting word here that Paul uses, straightforward, in this verse. I believe this is, if you're interested in this, it's Strong's number 3716. It's the Koine Greek word orthopodio, and it means to walk in a straight path. And according to Strong's, it's used metaphorically in Galatians 2:14 to signify a course of conduct by which one leaves a straight track for others to follow. So Paul's saying you didn't... You were not straightforward. You were not walking a straight path. You were walking a crooked path, in other words. And when we walk according to the Word of God, we're walking according to the light, as Randy had a lesson on a couple of Sunday evenings ago. And he brought up Psalms 119, verse 105, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's... That's just like if we were all in this building at night and there were no lights on, it'd be very difficult to walk around inside this building. We'd probably trip over something, bump into something, but once the light comes on, you can see the aisle, you can see around how to maneuver around. You can see how to walk. And that's really what Psalms 119:105 is getting at. That your word, God's word, is a lamp. It's a light unto my feet. Because of that word, we can see and we can understand how to walk our course in this life. We can see how to walk a straight path. And we walk one way. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, and all these references that I have up here, the Greek word hodos is used. And that word means, metaphorically, a course of conduct. And the second meaning it has is a traveled way, a road, a traveler's way, a journey, traveling, but again, metaphorically, it's used as a course of conduct, a way of thinking, feeling, deciding. Now, in Acts 9:2, as translated the way in all of these references that I have up here, but even though it's translated the way, it's talking about a course of conduct, a way of thinking. And the point is that in all of these sites where it's referencing the way of God, there's only one way. There is the way. It's singular. And that's the point that I'm making here. So there's one path. There's one walk. There are not many roads to heaven. There's one way in which to walk. Hodos is an interesting word because it is used to describe a way, a manner of thinking, feeling, deciding. And I think you've heard Mickey teach more than once that the gospel changes the way that you think. It puts you on a new path, a new course, newness of life. But in all of these citations here, Acts 9 and 2, Acts 19 and 23, for instance, and about that time there arose no small stir concerning the way. Acts 22 and 4, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, something that Paul said about himself. And also he said in Acts 24 and 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call a sect, so serve I the God of our fathers. Paul said that I serve God according to the way, one way. Okay. Those verses certainly contrast the old way of life with a new way of life. An old walk with a new walk. Peggy? but by me. Now, see, how much time do I have left? Oh, about 15 minutes. Okay. Okay, but you know, our walk, according to the gospel, according to the word of God, worthy of the calling with which you were called. Is going to, how can I put it? Each of us individually walking according to the calling is going to promote the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Each of us walking in this newness of life. Because we're going to walk in this newness of life with certain attitudes. Paul says that we're to walk worthy of this calling. And how do we walk worthy of this calling? We're going to walk with an attitude of lowliness. Now, when we're talking about lowliness, we're talking about having a humble opinion of oneself. A deep sense of moral littleness. We need this attitude because we're not perfect. We are sinful. We have problems with sin. And we need to have this attitude to eliminate conceit. What does Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 have to say? Who can read that? Oh, okay. Let each esteem others better than himself. So there's Paul's instruction to the Philippians, a description of lowliness. And how are we to teach others when they're in error? How are we to deal with our fellow Christians when they are in error, when they've committed sin? I was looking for a specific verse. Something we've just studied recently. Well, maybe not too recently, but in Galatians. Okay. Yeah. And and Chris just brought it up, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Who has Galatians 6:1? Okay, each one looking to yourself, because you can be tempted also. You're not above temptation. You can fall into temptation. So, because someone else has committed sin, don't think you're better than that other person is. Because you can fall into the same temptation and commit the same sin. Peggy? Well, yes. And Ken, could you read Romans chapter 12 and verse 16 for us? Okay. I'm sorry, did you say be not wise in your own conceits? Okay. So be not wise in your own conceits. Same thing, yes. About being puffed up. So be not wise in your own conceits. Don't have a high estimation of yourself. So this is one of the attitudes that we're going to have in this walk, in this worthy walk, in this walk that's worthy of the calling of the gospel. We're going to conduct our lives, we're going to walk with an attitude of lowliness. And now, Paul writes, and gentleness or meekness. So what is meekness or gentleness? As used here in the second verse. How would you define it? What? Deferential. Respectful has a little bit to do with it, but yes, how would you define meekness? Pardon me? I'm sorry, I still couldn't hear you. Being humble? Yes. Yes, being humble. Okay. Pardon? Yes. Mild-mannered? John? Okay. Being the opposite of crass? I like to think of meekness as gentle, humble conduct combined with strength. strength channeled or directed in the proper or the right way. Can anyone think of perhaps an illustration to illustrate, to illustrate or explain the word meekness? Chris? Okay, now Chris brings up a very good illustration. A horse is not a weak animal. If you've ever been around a horse, had anything to do with them, a horse is not weak. for instance, if you've ever had the experience of riding a horse, and use the old phrase that horse goes to water on you. In other words, that horse sees a stock pond or whatever, and that horse just takes off and goes to that pond to get a drink of water. You can't stop it. If that horse is going to go to water on you, you can't stop that horse or that mule from doing that. But if the horse allows you, as Chris is talking about the picture illustration of a yoke, if the horse allows you to lead him to water at the proper time, you knowing just as God knows what is best for us, if we allow God to lead us, that doesn't mean that we're weak. But we channel our strength through the Word of God. It has the proper outlet. It has the proper channel. Bruce? He was going to let God, the Father, deal with the situation. Okay. I think I've only got about a minute or so left, so I think, Chris, at this point, instead of getting into a discussion of long suffering, we'll wrap up the class period. Does anybody have any other questions about our walk, about the attitudes of lowliness or meekness?